Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Euphoric Hemp Oil Infused Chewing Gum. You only need to try Euphoric once to see what all the fuss is about. To prove it, a limited supply of free trials have just been released nationwide. Just visit this website, chewenjoy.com, to claim your free trial today while supplies last. Again, that website is chewenjoy.com. 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 Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a couple wakes up in the middle of the night to discover an unexpected, terrifying presence in the room. What was this dark shadow figure that seemed to have complete control over the couple? We'll find out today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And get all the bonus episodes, the EPP bonus episodes. That's what helps support the show and keeps it on the air. Brand new ones every week. You also get advanced episodes of the show. You get our audiobook. You get an e-copy of our book. All of that as an EPP. Just go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up there. Or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of the extras. And know that you're helping to keep this program on the air. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Oh, I got to turn your microphone up.
There we go. Hi.
You censor me, don't you?
I try to.
Yeah. How are you?
Good.
I don't have a beep button. That would be fun. I would overuse it if I had a beep button.
I know.
I would just be beeping out all sorts of shit that's not even swearing just because it'd be fun. Just fun to do that. So I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good.
Yeah. Anything exciting? Anything good? Anything? Yeah.
No. Pretty boring over here.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm glad. Glad to hear it. Thought of an interesting, didn't think of this, but I was reading about this the other day. And this is something we hear about quite a bit on the show, is people outside and they hear the unexplained child crying, the whining. And sometimes, you know, there's animals that can certainly sound like that. Well, it's becoming an issue in Pittsburgh. People have been hearing a mysterious, and they're calling it, and this is what I'm finding interesting about this, at least as we're recording this, this is as far as the story has progressed. Maybe it will be different by the time this airs. Mysterious recording is what they're saying, of a baby crying and a child calling out for help.
Okay.
People are saying, or the police are saying, keep your door shut and call 911. If you hear it, there have been multiple reports of this recording of a baby crying and a child crying out for help playing outside of people's homes. It says the majority of those targeted appear to be college students. The police have failed to find the source of the recordings on arrival, and they're warning people to keep their doors shut and call 911 if they hear the creepy noises again. Pittsburgh Public Safety spokesman Chris something confirmed that the reports are real. It's making national, actually international headlines. I'm reading this off of the Daily Mail, which is a UK paper.
So what is the... Okay, so they're hearing this recording. They're, I'm assuming, going outside.
Mm-hmm.
What is the action then of the perpetrator?
Nothing.
Okay.
As of this recording, nothing. So I always want to, you know, phrase this stuff because it's like this is going to air several weeks from now. There could be a bunch of...
So his or her goal is just to get the people outside.
Well, I think that's the assumption that I don't know that should be jumped to.
Okay.
Because they jump to this. It's a recording. I guess I'm looking at these stories and maybe I haven't dug deep enough, but how do we know it's a recording?
Right.
This seems to be quite an assumption. Mm-hmm. If we don't see somebody somebody playing this back, whether it be whatever the device is, why are we? That seems to be the missing part in this. It's like Okay. Everybody's jumping to recording.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that it's a real child, because people are hearing the same thing over and over. So that would lead you to believe, I guess, if you don't believe in ghosts, it's a recording.
Sure.
Because logically, it wouldn't be repeating itself. So what else would it be? Somebody's playing something back. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that that's quite the assumption, considering this is something that does seem to happen, and it ain't a recording.
Well, I think it's odd that, you know, the police are approaching this, and I'm sure there's information they have that they're not releasing,
maybe, which,
for good reason. But yeah. I'm intrigued that they're approaching this as a, like, a person going around and doing this, and you should just stay inside and lock your doors.
Mm-hmm.
Because that leads me to think that there's some sort of potential harm to the person that goes out looking to help this child.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the assumption that's going on here. And maybe that is what's going on. Maybe this is some nefarious individual, and that's, it's trying to lure people outside.
Uh-huh.
Because naturally you would do that with a recording like that. Maybe there's more information that they have that we don't have. Maybe they have threats or something that we're unaware of, where they know that somebody is doing this specific thing. But if that doesn't exist, if that piece of the puzzle is not out there, it seems like this could be a, if they never solve this, if they never catch anybody with this recording, maybe it is something paranormal. I'm just saying, I mean, I've heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
I guess another assumption here that you'd have to have with this is they have one hell of a speaker system, which if you have, you know, like a vehicle or something souped up, or you, I guess you have large speakers installed on something, you could easily blast this sound pretty loud. Again, that's, it takes a little bit of work to get that.
I just have this mental picture of an ice cream truck going around with crying.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that'd be another way to do it too. Unless the audio is so, you know, you hear something out of like an ice cream truck, like the horn, mm-hmm. the mega horn, and it's so obviously coming from that, you can almost identify, oh, that's coming out of one of those, you know, loudspeakers, almost like stadium type.
Maybe that's why they think it's recording.
Maybe. These are pieces I wish were in the story, but they don't think to add. So I don't know. I mean, maybe some of that would answer a lot of those questions, but it sounds creepy as hell.
That's hard when you're a mom and you hear a kid that's mm-hmm. in danger or needing help to not, I mean, not just your kid, but any kid. Once you're a mom, it's like you're in the club as far as a kid starts crying, you look.
Yeah.
That would be, I'm sure guys are like that too, but I just know.
Hearing a kid crying.
I don't know. I just know the aspect of being a mom and how that would be so difficult for me.
I'm kidding. But. Now, if there's somebody in distress, yes, the parental alarms go off. And you can tell the type of crying it is, too. I mean, there's two different types of crying. Like if you're at a restaurant or a store mm-hmm. or something, and you're not on the direct line of sight, but suddenly you hear a cry from a child, you almost instinctively can tell right away whether it's a cry because someone had something fall on them and they're injured.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're pissy because they didn't get the latest nom nom. You know, it's
moms can pick out different cries. Like there's a scared cry. There's a I'm hurt cry.
Yeah.
And there's a I'm just going to be an asshole cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which kids are good at.
Sure. And it, like immediately, like within a split seconds, you can determine if this is something I need to run to the other aisle or run mm-hmm. towards this sound.
Yeah.
And if it's an in distress, I'm hurt, or in danger cry, boom, you mm-hmm. you know, you have that. But you can also within a split second go, oh, they didn't get a fucking toy that they wanted.
Yeah.
You know, and you just, and completely, and then it becomes, I fucking hate kids that aren't my own, you know. But I mean, that's how my mind goes. Like I and I don't hate kids, but I'm partial to my own.
So, I'm glad.
It is one of those things. So I'm guessing the sound that they're getting from the speaker is in distress.
Mm-hmm.
You can't record a kid angry that they didn't get the Happy Meal toy they wanted and blast that, because you're just going to make a bunch of people go, fuck that kid. I hope they didn't get that Happy Meal toy, asshole. You know, and nobody's going to care. It has to be a very specific cry or blasting through that loudspeaker.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting experiment to do.
To see the reaction of parents, different cries that of children that are not your own.
That they can't see where the kid is. They just hear the cry. And what is the ratio of parents rushing to try and assist when it's the I'm hurt cry versus the I'm being a little asshole cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet it's pretty distinct.
Yeah.
You know, as far as how many, and then test it with people who aren't parents or have no parental experience, meaning you had no little brothers or sisters, mm-hmm. and you were never in charge of care of that either, because you don't have to be a parent to understand that.
Yeah. I mean,
you
have to be around kids.
Yeah, exactly. So you take the two different groups and see what the result is.
Maybe that's why they're targeting college age kids, because they don't know the difference between a hissy fit cry and a pain cry.
Maybe. Oh, I don't know. It's interesting. Creepy story. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First story says, I didn't know what I was experiencing or seeing until I started listening to your show and heard other people sharing their very similar stories. I thought, cool, I'm not the only one. It was about 5 years ago when my now ex-boyfriend and I lived in a loft in San Jose, California. Because this was a somewhat new apartment complex, the thought of the place being haunted never crossed my mind. I've always felt safe there, even alone at night. I did have my two cats, Croissant and Biscotti, to keep me company when I was alone. The only thing that was a little creepy was the ceiling. They were about 19 feet tall, and one of the walls had five large windows, three up top, two on the bottom, with a door in the middle leading to the balcony. On the bottom windows, there was blinds. Also, our bed was on the second floor, which faced those windows. If you were to sit up, you would see directly out these windows and out to the street. Nothing but old warehouses and the usual drunk people yelling outside. We lived walking distance to downtown. At night, with the lights on inside, these windows pretty much became black. You couldn't see outside unless you were standing directly in front of the windows looking out. So we felt very vulnerable at times. Perfect place for peeping Toms, since I cringe. Anyways, back to the story. My boyfriend and I were both in bed asleep. It must have been during the summer because I didn't have any blankets on me. Or maybe I did, just ended up kicking them off in the middle of the night. So I was lying on my back asleep, so I suddenly woke up. I blinked a few times, tried moving so I can lay on my side, but I couldn't. I had my arms flat against my sides and my legs straight, which was strange because I'm a side belly sleeper. I tried repeatedly moving, but felt like I was tied down, or like all my limbs, including my head, was glued to the bed. I suddenly felt a presence at my feet. I shifted my eyes towards the foot of the bed and saw a black figure looking at me from around the corner. This figure was peeking with their hands on the corner of the wall as if they were going to a peekaboo me. The whole apartment was dark, but this figure was as black can be. I immediately panicked and tried screaming for my boyfriend, but I couldn't talk. It was as if I had tape over my mouth and didn't have a voice. I'd imagine like how Ariel felt in The Little Mermaid when she lost her voice. I tried kicking and moving my arms, but this hold was not letting loose. The black figure came from around the corner and slowly moved to the front of the bed. At this point, my heart was racing. I felt like this was going on for about 2 minutes of him just standing there staring at me. I tried to break loose, still trying to scream for my boyfriend to wake me up. Then suddenly, I was able to break loose and the figure disappeared. I threw my arms up and grabbed my boyfriend tight. He woke up in a panic and I immediately started crying. He was able to calm me down, but apparently put himself back to sleep. I had trouble falling asleep, so I had to turn the TV on just to feel like I wasn't alone. I never had an experience like that since, and I hope to keep it that way. Dang, did I just jinx myself? I've been listening to you guys for almost 2 years now and recommend you guys to anyone that shares a ghost story with me. You're awesome. Thank you very much. Back to our conversation in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Euphoric Hemp Oil Infused Chewing Gum. Euphoric, it's changing the game when it comes to chewing gum and hemp oil infusion and CBD infusion. It is, in fact, it has its own innovative patented delivery system. Chewing. Yes, it's one of those processes where because you're chewing the hemp oil infused gum, it gives it the best absorption rate on the market, 84%. I love this stuff. It lasts a long time. It has great flavor, and it's a great mint flavor is what I love about it. It doesn't get you high. It's legal in all 50 states, and it's full spectrum hemp oil for maximum availability in all the naturally occurring phytocannabinoids in hemp. This stuff has been clinically verified for that absorption rate of 84%. That's the biggest thing right there. You're going to get it better, longer than any other product out there on the market. It's gluten-free, it's sugar-free, it's non-GMO, rich in omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. The list goes on and on of all the benefits of Euphoric Hemp Oil-Infused Chewing Gum. But why don't you try it for yourself? In fact, check this out. You only need to try Euphoric once to see what all the fuss is about. To prove it, a limited supply of free trials have just been released nationwide. Just visit chewenjoy.com. Claim your free trial today while supplies last. Again, the website is chewenjoy.com. Chewenjoy.com. C-H-E-W enjoy.com.
I think if she's lucky that she's only had the one experience, because it seems like if you've had sleep paralysis, you've usually had it more than once. But I can imagine the first time you have it and you're not used to having it, how terrifying that could be.
And here's another interesting observation as she listens to this going, oh, Jenny thinks it's sleep paralysis. Thank goodness. If you have it only once, was it sleep paralysis?
Well, I still call it sleep paralysis, even when there's a paranormal component to it.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's medical and sometimes it's paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point of view on it.
I think the two can coexist,
mm-hmm.
like at the same time, mm-hmm. where it's something that's using this state that would be classified as medical to get whatever it wants to be across. You know, just as a tool, essentially. I don't think everything is paranormal with it. I think our bodies can naturally fall into it and have nothing. There's nothing else that's really influencing it. But I think the two can coexist. But that she is lucky it hasn't happened again. Sometimes when it only happens one time, I suppose you could argue it either way, really, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. If you have it once, well, good. Then that definitely was nothing because it hasn't come back again with more things it wants to scare you with. Or you could argue, well, it only happened once because it was paranormal. And that's, you know, it depends on your perspective on it.
Yeah.
But hard to know, I would say, in this case, if it was
mm-hmm.
paranormal related or if it was something else. I mean, it was very much a classic case scenario that she described there, seeing the thing, she snaps out of it and it's gone and doesn't have it happen again. Could very well be the medical classic sleep paralysis, nothing paranormal.
Yeah.
But it's hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
Only, even they don't know.
Medical professionals.
Well, not even that. I mean, yeah. I mean, even this individual doesn't know. I guess the answer would really be only time will tell if anything else were to happen, ramp up same experiences and then more evidence to point in one direction or the other outside of being in that state would answer that question. Or it may be forever an unsolved mystery.
That just sounded like an elephant fart. That did not sound like music.
Boom.
Okay. Nice.
Maybe she calls the unsolved mystery tip line. Well, that's only if you have an answer. You like can solve only because when they solve mysteries.
Yeah.
There's a call center full of people. I bet I really wonder what the real unsolved mysteries call center was.
I know.
You know, I never called it. But I truly wonder, I don't think it was the large room that Robert Stack would walk by every once in a while or walk through, you know, call now, you know.
Those are people just doing some random telethon and they're just, using that room.
Like Robert Stack's going to be here for about 15 minutes. He's going to wear 5 different suits and say 7 different things and just pretend you're working here and you're answering calls.
Yeah.
That's how that was. I don't know. I'd be curious. I wonder if we have any listeners that like, and I worked in the Unsolved Mysteries call center in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear that. I wonder how much weird shit they'd get. You know, I'm sure quite a bit, or things that really didn't pertain. And then you'd have to investigate. I mean, you just have one. How did that even work? Fuck, these aren't police. These are people in a call center. So unless they had
I probably passed on the tip to private investigators because I'm sure it's all private investigators that were doing any follow-ups.
That'd be a lot of private investigators and expensive for unsolved mysteries to employ.
Well,
I wonder if it like went then to the individual case.
Could be.
Like, okay, we got this tip. It either goes to the local police or to the family that gave permission for the story to be on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean anything to you? I bet a lot of people really regretted putting their fucking mysteries on that show. Because I bet for years after, it was just, before email spamming, they were spammed with just everybody with a tinfoil hat going, I think I know what happened to your Uncle Louie in 1934. It's like, what the fuck? You know,
yeah.
People have literally nothing to do with it, but they have the answers. That would be interesting. Huh? 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Next one says, it was the summer of 2015. My sister and I were house sitting for a family in Texas. Crazy thing is, the house we were sitting at was right across from this house where murders had taken place. I know people died in that house, but I didn't know exactly what went down. We stayed in the house we were sitting at for about 2 weeks. About the sixth day, we were there, and I had a dream. In the dream, I was in a nice big house. I was in the kitchen, and these cute little boys were there. The oldest seemed like 6, maybe 7, and the youngest seemed 4, maybe 5. They were so cute and sweet. They would sit on my lap, and I would want constant love, hugs, and attention, which I did give them. Yet the whole time I was with them, I felt so sad, like my heart was broken, and I wanted to cry. It was overwhelming. It was like happiness, love, and sadness all mixed at once. Then out of nowhere, this teenager came downstairs, looked around 18 to 19. Little boy said that it was their brother. I was like, how? He's so much older than them. I got vibes of loneliness from him as well. I spent some time with them. I didn't talk to them, more like spent time with them, hugging and loving on them. When I was about to leave, the little boy started telling me not to go. They grabbed at my legs and started to cry. It broke my heart seeing them like that. The teenager looked sad. I woke up, and the crazy thing is that the dream felt so freaking real. That day I was watching the ID channel, and they passed the story about the house and the murders. What happened was that a family lived there. One night, a supposed burglar broke in and stabbed the two little boys to death and injured the mom. As the investigation went on, this is when I was shaking. Turns out no one broke into the house. The mom stabbed her sons to death. But wait, it gets better. She had 3 sons. The youngest was sleeping upstairs with his dad. The son at the time was 7 months old. The sons she killed were 5 and 6. This murder happened in 1996. So y'all do the math. After that, I was forever shaking. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe they tried to reach out to me. All I know is this will forever stick with me. Those little boys didn't deserve that. They had so much to live for, and it was snuffed out thanks to a selfish monster. The love, loneliness, and sadness I felt from those boys might be from their souls that haven't rested in peace. Usually spirits meet a tragic end, can never rest. Maybe they were sharing their emotions with me and the emotions of their living brother. What do you guys think?
It could be. I mean, it could be that just being in that proximity, they wanted you to know what happened.
Do you think they visited more than one person in the area?
I would think so.
Telling their story over and over.
I mean, think if there's more than one sensitive person that would receive the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, they really didn't tell their story. She just picked up on sadness. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they were trying to... It was her, you know.
Yeah.
And they already kind of figured that out. They're just kind of lingering and still being kids with whoever will be able to see them, I guess. And in a dream, that's even more interesting. Yeah, I'd be shaking too. Mm-hmm. You know, where you're in that atmosphere. And the timeline on this story, very important. And if everything went as she says it does, that's what obviously makes it very scary. Had she seen the investigation discovery show and then went to bed and mm-hmm. then had like, okay, well, that's understandable.
Yeah.
But in that order, that's what makes it all the more creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had a dream of something that was I guess good or bad, that was kind of like, shit. You know, you saw it on TV or it happened, or that wasn't like super predictable.
Almost like a premonition dream?
I guess kind of like a premonition dream or something like this, where at a later date, something confirmed the unsettling dream. And maybe not even unsettling, but just confirmed the dream.
Not in a future sense. I've had dreams where I have had puzzle pieces put together mm-hmm. that kind of made the whole picture more understandable. I know that's very vague.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a dream about somebody in my family that had been injured a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always kind of sketchy on how this person got injured. And in this dream, a relative I had that had passed away came to me and said the reason that it was sketchy basically was because they did it to themselves.
Okay.
And when I woke up, I remembered that, and then it all made sense.
Mm.
But I never got absolute confirmation, but at least it all made sense at that point.
Okay.
And that's all the detail I can share without really divulging sure. a lot.
Yeah.
But it was a great grandmother that kind of came to me in my dream and said, that's why. I still don't know for a fact that that's why, but that sure made a lot more sense after I had that dream uh-huh. than the story I had been told.
Immediately after you had that dream, did you feel it was just a dream and, oh, that's weird, maybe my mind's just trying to make sense of this and this is how it made sense? Or was it like an immediate, holy shit, this is a fact, this is that person?
Yeah, it was the latter, because I've had other dreams where I've had relatives visit and tell me things. So that was very much what I felt. And at that point, this was not the first time that it happened. So I felt like, okay, that's what this was.
Okay. There you go.
I hope that's not too vague.
No, I think people can connect.
Okay.
You know, get the gist of what you're talking
yeah.
about. As far, you knew Harper's hair was going to be red.
Yeah. I dreamt that we were going to have a little redheaded girl.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see Harper, but I knew that we were going to have a redheaded girl.
There you go. I was always afraid of having a redheaded child.
Why?
I think most of my interactions, and there's obviously, you know, I'm insanely in love with our little redhead.
Yeah.
But prior to that, I think most of the interactions that I had with redheads were negative. Not like crazy negative, like evil people, but I remember, like, I have a cousin who's a redhead, and, you know, we're great now, but, you know, kids growing up, we were at each other, and uh-huh. it was always like, so my assumption there was, you know, oh, he's so moody, or he's so temperamental, or this or that. And I guess a lot of other interactions with redheads were kind of in that area. And I'm not making a blanket statement like that. I'm just saying my truth, hashtag, if you will, or hashtag, anyway, of what I had experienced growing up. So it was, I guess, and there were some other kids at school. Anytime it was like somebody that had red hair, it was never a positive experience. And I won't go into every detail, but that's how it was. So I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. And then she's great.
She still has her moments, though.
She does.
I mean, redheads get a bad rap for their moodiness, and they're not all that way. But she mm-hmm. has her moments. But I think it's funny. She's like the third redhead that I've known that will not eat cheese unless it's on a pizza.
What is that?
I don't know. And I don't know if it's like a sensitivity thing, because I know that they can be more sensitive
mm-hmm.
or what, or if it's just something genetically that they just cannot stomach it. It just tastes bad to them, but that's the third one. Because I was like, who doesn't like cheese? I love cheese. Everybody loves cheese. But they don't like, these three don't like cheese unless it's on pizza.
I don't know. I don't know what it, she wouldn't even have it on a sandwich. She wouldn't even have it on a sandwich either.
No.
Mac and cheese, she's gotten really picky on her mac and cheese too. Yeah. No, it's like, I only eat Buffalo Wild Wings mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Even like anything that's very similar.
Right.
Nope.
She used to love grilled cheese, and now she won't do grilled cheese.
She won't?
Mm-mm. She's like, no, it's gross. I'm going to gag. Huh. And that kid will gag till she throws up just to make a point.
I don't think it's on purpose.
Yeah, there's times it is.
Okay. An interesting thing I did learn about redheads when we had her, I was just doing some research on the new human that came home with us.
Yeah, that's good. Like reading the manual.
Red-haired people manuals. But I did learn a lot about their sensitivities. And in everything that I had read is that they are more sensitive in like every way mm-hmm. to everything. And I guess that would make you a little more temperamental,
yeah.
In many cases, which does explain a lot of that to me, where more sensitive to anything, mm-hmm. sight, sound, touch, everything is like amped up. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I guess my reference would be, and if you're familiar with how microphones work, this would make the most sense to you. When you have a microphone, you have a volume level on it. Mm-hmm. And I can turn my volume a little way down here. My mic is still on. You can still kind of hear me, but that's where I'm at. I think if you're a redhead, you're way up here. And then I have not moved where I'm speaking from.
Yeah.
I'm at the exact same distance, but you picked up me 10 times stronger mm-hmm. than I was in that example. And I think that might be kind of how some of them are, at least. Where it's that much more sensitive, and which would in turn play with your emotions quite a bit too, where you may have less patience for things because it comes at you harder and stronger mm-hmm. than maybe other folks who are kind of here in this mid-range as opposed to way up there.
Sure.
So that's how I kind of look at it. I don't know. She's pretty even keeled.
She is now. Yeah. She used to be a hot mess, but she's good now.
When was she a hot mess?
Whenever you weren't around, because you were a natural pacifier to that kid.
Yeah. I never really see her as a hot mess, but I know like she could be sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, she's a sweetheart.
When she sees me, she's just like, flip a switch or something? Or
you just have this effect on her to where she's just at ease and whatever was a problem is not a problem anymore.
Huh.
It's okay. Not like she's behaving differently sure. for us. I just feel like you have a calming effect toward her.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. One more story. It says, I've been a believer in the supernatural world for as long as I can remember. I used to be a very spiritual person when it came to my religion. I was told that I have a third eye. I can see spirits and see what is wrong with them and try to help if I can. Boy, oh boy, I did not want this. My first contact encounter was when I was 8 years old. At the time, my father and mother had been divorced for 2 years. My father was living in South Africa with his new family. My two real brothers and I would go to my father during July and December, school holidays. My dad stayed in what would be called the charity home. It was called something for a ministry. He had fallen off the wagon being an alcoholic and found this place, which was his refuge. At night, I would have to sleep in the living room. Being the only girl, I was not allowed to sleep with my brothers. I've been feeling uneasy the whole night. Something about that room my dad rented just gave me the creeps. I always felt cold and could feel a cold sweat all over my body. I struggled to sleep that night, tossing and turning. I suddenly felt very, very cold. So cold that there was a white mist when I breathed. I was facing the wall and could not get my body to turn. Something whispered, "Roll off the couch." As I rolled, my body stopped in the middle of the floor. I was stopped by a being. I looked up and started screaming. There was a figure of a man. He was beating the couch where I was laying and what looked like with a huge mallet. His eyes were evil, evil beyond any words. My heart felt like it stopped right there. I jumped up and started running to my brother's room. To get there, I must run through the kitchen. In the kitchen, I skidded to a halt. And there he was, sitting on a chair in front of my brother's bedroom door, sneering at me. I'll never forget that evil grin. I retraced my footsteps and ran to my father's room and jumped on his bed. I kept my eyes closed. My dad told me the next day that the building that is this ark used to be a military base camp. The area where my father's flat is built used to be the prison holding cells for the prisoners brought off the ships. My dad stayed close to the harbor. Whatever he was, he wanted to hurt me and was not the only one.
I would think there would be a ton of energy still left there, you know, from being that kind of a housing facility.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as to why angry towards this particular kid, I don't know, but maybe just angry that somebody living is there.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And that's an energy that you're not going to be able to reason with or change. Sounds like a lovely place, though. I mean, that'd be a great vacation spot or something. Yeah, that sounds scary as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories. Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I should say we are on, we've been on social media, but we have our individual pages now on Instagram.
And it's just our randomness.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not, you know, always don't expect like paranormal everything. I mean, I'll post some stuff, but it's more so like, this is our life. This is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing this fun series on my Instagram page called Shit on My Shelf.
And people thought it was shit on myself.
Shitting on myself.
No.
People were turning it off right away because you're thinking, oh my God, Tony's going to shit on himself every day. Is that corn? Holy shit. No. No, it's Shit on My Shelf. And I have this shelf of random things that I've had in like every office and room I've ever had. And you've always, I think, hated it because it is very random.
It's not that I hate the stuff on there. It's just, it's cluttered.
Isn't it? But it's a hell of a lot more uncluttered than it used to be.
It sure is.
It is 10 times better than it was.
Yep.
It did used to be a cluttered mess of random shit.
And now it's only half that.
Now it's half. Now it's a half cluttered mess of random shit. A lot of it's in a box now. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to bring that box out and like circle around this stuff because I'm going to run out of stuff on my shelf. Everything there like seems to have an interesting story behind it. And I'm the only one who ever comes in my office other than you. So it's like, I might as well tell the stories of the shit on my shelf.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing on Instagram. I have an Instagram series on at Tony Bruschi, Bruesky is how you spell it. And you can watch that on there. By the time this airs, there'll be more than just the three that I've had up. So far, I've talked about the bridge piece from The Late Show with David Letterman. I've talked about the Titanic book that we found at the library that I used to love as a child. And I even showed some of my Titanic drawings from when I was a child because they're in there.
Okay.
And today I talked about Casey Kasem and the CD that I have with his autograph on it.
Okay.
And me and the dog had an argument on that episode.
I'm sure Sting argued a lot.
No, it was Bear.
Oh, well, Bear might argue.
Bear was sitting in the chair where I wanted to sit, so we kind of had a dissing your dog moment.
Uh-huh.
And he just stayed.
But, well, I'm going to share the catalog on mine, because that's one of my favorite things that we have.
Shit on My Shelf? You're going to do a Shit on My Shelf?
No, I'm just going to share that because it's old and cool, and I do old stuff on mine.
The Sears and Roebuck catalog?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a neat one. That is a fun one to look at. So anyway, that's up on Instagram. Jenny's at Jenny Bruschi. I'm at Tony Bruschi. Make sure you follow us there if you can't get enough of the random shit that we talk about here. Now you can get it everywhere.
There you go.
At random times as well. All right. That is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our program, become an extra podcast person, EPP, at ghostpodcast.com or through patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.